fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go.
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It is Thursday. It is December. Holy cow. And I am back. Adam Azer with the whole gang. Dave Richard, Jamie Eisberg, Heath Cummings. Very excited to be here. Let me just thank you guys for filling in. I do appreciate it. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, guys.
The show goes on without you, Adam. It's okay.
Yeah.
Who is this?
Yeah, I know. And Jamie was out sick yesterday, so are you feeling better?
Yes. Thank Good. You.
Where was I? Well, yeah, I hear it. Two things. Yeah, one, working through some major technological issues here. So we've had some interesting sound quality when I've been on the show lately. That's why I took myself off the show, because I wanted it to sound good for you guys. Working on it. Hopefully by today or next week, everything will be perfectly fine. Doing my best. So I apologize for all that. But I'm back now. We think we have a kind of a stopgap solution. And we are going to preview the AFC home games. We have a lot of really interesting stuff. I also want to talk about some players that may have big finishes. I asked the Twitter followers who's going to have a big finish. You guys gave me some answer or some suggestions. We'll see if Dave, Jamie, and Heath agree. But first, I want to tell you all that no team goes into the season without a game plan. And Buffalo Wild Wings knows that football fans need a game plan that's built for game day glory. A game plan that should include 21 signature sauces and seasonings, a great lineup of beer taps, and an arsenal of wall-to-wall TVs. Take advantage of that. Go watch some football this weekend. All of those details make for a game day game plan that can't be beat. So win or lose, if you're a football fan, you still win at having the best game day atmosphere around. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. We do it for you because you're a football fan. So, Dave, you were humming some music before?
That was Heath who was humming that.
Oh, it was Heath.
Yep.
I got a Nintendo! Yeah!
Hooray.
Heath was helping Nintendo music.
Like, do you expect us to celebrate because you got a Nintendo?
A game.
Do you know what the nice thing is that you look like a 12-year-old and now you have something to match it.
Yeah, and I actually had to stop playing yesterday because I was developing a blister from playing so much on Tuesday when it finally arrived.
So that's what you've been doing. You don't have any technological issues.
Yeah.
You've ditched the podcast to play Duck Hunt.
Well, no, there's no Duck Hunt because it doesn't have a gun.
Clue Land.
A lot of Tecmo Bowl, Punch Out. That's mostly been it.
And Slalom.
Mega Man 2 is very hard. I have to practice. But I got it, and I just want to tell everybody that, you know, they say you can't always get what you want, but if you bitch about it enough on your podcast, one of your awesome listeners will sell you. His extra copy, his extra Nintendo. So thank you, Ricky. You're the man. Let's talk football. Here is your quote of the day. I don't know if you guys have seen this, so let me know. Quote.
I like how he glossed over that.
He didn't hear it. Yeah.
What'd you say?
Did you pay him yet?
No, not yet. I'm going to pay him, Jamie. I promise.
Oh my gosh, you haven't even paid him
yet?
You've
played the game long enough to develop a blister, but you've not paid for it.
I'm going to send the check today.
A check?
Well, he doesn't have PayPal.
All right.
All right.
You better put some interest on it since it's taking you so long.
Okay. 2 days, sure. So, I don't know if you've seen this. It's very funny, I think. Quote, I've been impressed with Brandon and what he's done out of the backfield. You've got to deal with him in addition to Danny. You've got playmakers all around, so we have to play sound defense. This is a coach talking about the running backs he's about to face. Do you know who this is, talking about Brandon and Danny?
Yes. Yes. We keep up with the news.
Okay. This is Jeff Fisher talking about the Patriots running backs. He, for some reason, he's worried about Brandon Bolden and Danny Woodhead or something like that.
Like, it was a joke, right?
I don't think so.
Totally joking.
No, serious.
I don't buy it.
All right.
I think he was trolling us.
What do you think about the Patriots running backs this week, guys?
I think Danny could go off. Look, LeGarrette Blount, you're going to start. You're going to hope he finds the end zone. I think this could be a good game for Deion Lewis.
Rams give up a ton of rushing production on the road.
Yeah.
A lot of rushing touchdowns on the road.
Absolutely. And Robert Quinn is a question mark for the game. He got concussed last week. That'll hurt them against the run and the pass for sure.
Okay. I want to talk about big finishers. and then we'll get into the week 13 games a little bit more. But tell me if you guys think these players will have big finishes. Are you ready? Here we go. Nick says, Willie Snead. I think that was a kind of a troll job, but look, this week in particular looks like good matchups on the schedule. Willie Snead, could he have a big finish?
Sure. I expect him to have a big game this week, and he's got a good matchup against, two good matchups against Tampa Bay. So he's been a borderline number two this year. I'd expect him to be a borderline number two the rest of the way.
I don't think his role changes much, regardless of the opponent. There is the matchup at Arizona in week 15 that could be a little dicey for him. But otherwise, I think it looks pretty good. Three of these last five games are going to be on turf. Four of these last five games are going to be indoors. So I think Snead as a number three fantasy receiver can be locked into lineups.
Like, you know that Nick's just trolling at him.
Here, of course. Well, okay. But you see the stat I have here. In his last eight games, if you take away the passing touchdown, which I think is fair, Willie Snead is averaging 5.5 points in standard and 10 points in PPR. Both those are bad numbers here.
He's a number three receiver. I don't know what anybody expects more out of him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But you want to drop him. Like, you don't think he's a number three receiver. You want to drop him.
No, I don't. I said you could drop him. You don't have to drop him. He's not. I haven't dropped him in the one league or two leagues I own him in.
Of course not, because he would get picked up immediately after you dropped him.
All right, next up, Brian Schlatter says Rishard Matthews is going to have a big finish. I don't care what anyone says. This man can play. He looked great again last week.
He can play all right, but he's got some tough matchups to finish the season, including a zero this week because he's on bye, Denver next week, then at Kansas City, then at Jacksonville, and then week 17 against Houston.
Isn't Kansas City before Denver?
No.
Broncos are after the bye.
I dropped Matthews because of the bye in Denver.
I think it's fair.
So not a big finish from him?
No, and I think you've got to think about what's going to happen with Mariota.
But couldn't he have a good game against Kansas City?
Sure.
Who? Could. I haven't looked at where he lines up. If they want to line him up on the left side, he can.
Yeah. It's typically on the outside.
Well, but is it the left side?
I feel like these guys that line up on the outside, they line up on the left and the right a decent amount. They do. It's rare to find a guy who's strictly on one side.
No, it's usually like a 60-30 split.
I don't fear him in the Kansas City game. The Denver game obviously is the one where you bench him.
Right.
The thing is you've got to make sure you get to the Kansas City game.
Jacksonville, by the way, they've been very good against wide receivers. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but that's Matthew's week 16 matchup. Next up from Matthew Cope. Sammy Watkins is going to have a big finish. Agree or disagree, guys?
Well, how's his foot? Because he didn't practice yesterday.
Are you asking me?
I figured you would know this.
If he plays, he'll be good.
Okay. Last year, the last six games of 2015, he had 109 or more yards in four of six games. He had 13 or more fantasy points in five of six games and six touchdowns. So hopefully he can repeat it. John Williams says Doug Martin, who's averaging 3 yards per carry, will have a big finish. Agree or disagree?
Gets the Saints twice, right?
Yeah.
Saints twice.
I agree completely.
Chargers this week. Dallas is going to be a little tricky for him in a couple of weeks.
Like, somebody sent me something on Twitter yesterday or the day before after we talked about Jay Ajayi's tough finish to the season, and they want to know if they should trade Jay Ajayi for Doug Martin. I would do that in a heartbeat.
You would?
Really?
In a heartbeat.
See, the one problem I've got with Doug Martin is he's getting a lot of work now, but Quiz Rogers is getting healthy. Charles Sims is going to be back. I don't know how many 20-touch games he's going to have when both of those guys are healthy.
You know, but he's shown he doesn't need 20. He needs 17. Can he get 17 when the other guys are there?
Maybe.
And I don't know that it
depends on game flow and how that Bucs defense is playing.
I'm not sure he needs 17 against the Saints either. Like, I think maybe you're...
Well, the one thing I think about the Saints, which is could be problematic, is are they chasing points? And right. Then is that Sims?
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I actually want to ask you about him against San Diego this week, and we will get to that. Al Ralston says Tyrell Williams is going to have a big... you know what? I think you guys covered Tyrell Williams last on yesterday's podcast, which I thank you for. Good job. Robert Bogard says Carlos Hyde is going to have a big finish at Chicago, then the Jets, at Atlanta, at L.A. It's not the best schedule, Seattle in Week 17. Carlos Hyde, big finish. Agree or disagree?
You're going to start him as long as you've got him because you know what his potential is.
That doesn't really answer the question, Dave. What do you think?
He's another guy that I think it's 15 carries for the season. He's done a great job every time he's touched the ball. I can tell you if you want to wait a second.
Well, actually, you know what's interesting about that? Most running backs, I think, who get that much do really well. But Doug Martin, not really. Devontae Booker, not really.
Well, it makes sense because if a team is having success, they run the ball more.
Yeah, but even like the 49ers, they've shown like the Seahawks game, for example. I think it was week two or week three. They gave him work in the fourth quarter. So it's every time he's had at least 18 touches a season, he scored double digits in fantasy points. That's happened 5 times.
Okay. So big finish, you think, for Carlos Hyde?
It's the same as what he's been. He'll be a solid number two.
Okay.
I think he's a borderline number one.
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, for example, this week he's a number one.
Yes,
there's gonna be some tough matchups, but he'll still be a number two for those tough matchups. The easy matchups, you're starting him.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if he's going to have a big finish or not. You're not going to take him out of your lineup.
Eric Fassler, Wendell Smallwood will have a big finish if Ryan Matthews gets any more toothaches.
I'm not trusting the Eagles running backs.
I don't like weeks 15 and 16 at Baltimore, home against the Giants.
Yeah, tough.
Yeah.
And they're going to split. I think they are very comfortable.
As if Matthew plays.
Matthew's playing or not playing.
Well, they're going to split with Sproles.
They're going to split, yeah. Right, exactly. And Kenyon Barter will take some. It's ugly.
Well, Sproles has 3 straight games with like 2 or 3 carries per game. So maybe they are going to commit to one guy as their running back for running downs.
Yeah, well, I think we saw a different Eagles running back have like 3 straight games with 3 or 4 carries or less. And then he ran the ball like 20 yeah, times in the next game out of nowhere.
It's true. Okay, Johnny C. Jameis Winston is going to have a big finish with the Saints twice, at San Diego this week, at Dallas, Carolina in week 17. What do you think, Jameis Winston, big finish?
If this was the big finish ometer, I would give this one a 10.
All right.
Should keep it up.
I will pick a few more here, and you tell me who the most likely to have a big finish is. Todd Gurley, Lamar Miller, Thomas Rawls, Jonathan Stewart.
Lamar Miller.
Not Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah, it's hard to like Jonathan Stewart. Rawls has some tough matchups. I don't know if I can really say him. Gurley's got some tough matchups, too.
Gurley stinks.
I'm going to say none of the above.
Miller.
Yeah, Gurley does have San Francisco in week 16.
He had him week 1, too.
Miller.
Miller?
Miller.
Okay.
He might be the best of the bunch just by matchups alone.
Mm. Okay, yeah, it's all right, here we go, guys. I want to just look back at yesterday's podcast and the playoff prep. Did you guys, if you could sum all of that up in like 30 seconds, did you come away with, I heard San Diego DST, Buffalo DST, those two teams maybe are two to target. Is there anything else? Atlanta, great schedule, you don't trust them. Anything else?
Man, that's really about it. The San Diego schedule is really good for their offense, and it's not bad for their defense, too, as far as, you know, platooning them with another DST. You just have to find that second DST to go with them.
Okay. And the only thing I wanted to disagree with, Heath, is I think, you know, you talked about the Bengals next week hosting the Browns, or actually I think they're at the Browns. I still really like their DST. Like, if you want to pick up the Bengals DST right now for next week, I still think that's a good idea. I wasn't quite sure where you stood on that.
Well, especially it could be RG3.
I wasn't that excited about it because I think it's just going to be an ugly game between two teams that may score a lot of points because neither one of their defenses are trying that hard.
Could you get away with Buffalo and Cincinnati as your duo for the rest of the season at DST? And then this week you'd start Cincinnati at home against Philly. You'd do it again next week at Cleveland, and then Buffalo week 15 versus Cleveland, and then week 16 Cincinnati is at Houston.
I'll give you an example. Buffalo, I'm number one seed in one league. I used the Bills last week for their matchup against Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like their matchup at all this week.
Did you cut them?
No, but I kept them because I'm going to have a first-round bye.
Who are you using instead?
No one. I'm
you
starting.
You have their DST? Oh, you're just going to take your lumps with them.
I'm taking my lumps with the Bills this week because it's not going to change my playoff standing. I have a bye next week, and then I get the matchup against Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah, the thing about the Browns is they've given up 15 sacks in their last 2 games.
Their offensive line is the worst.
Yeah.
And they've got like an all-pro left tackle.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They've got 1 stud and 4 turnstiles.
All right, that's cool. And then Atlanta's got this really good schedule, but they've lost 2 important players on defense, and I know you guys don't understand them. Don't trust them, excuse me. So you understand them. If somehow Miami's DST is available at Baltimore this week, Arizona at home with Arizona making that long trip. You know, it's just weird when you look at the teams that are giving up fantasy points to DSTs, and you see the Cardinals and the Panthers. It's a little strange, but it's happening. They are giving up points, and the Dolphins have the Jets in week 16. Are you ready to talk about this week's rankings?
Yeah.
How you guys doing? I missed you guys. You good?
Rankings. Let's talk about the rankings.
Come on. I'm excited. You know what I'm excited for? Tonight's game. I think it's going to be very good.
Are you going to watch the game, or are you going to be too busy trying to save the princess from Bowser?
No. I've had some battles in Tecmo Bowl. It's getting tough. I'm on week 7 now. These teams are getting tough. So there will be some battles, but I will put it away for the game tonight.
Good. I'm glad you've got your priorities in order.
Who's winning tonight?
I think Dallas can win.
Yes, Dallas
will win. But by one score.
Dallas will win and cover.
Okay. All right. All right. Explain yourselves. This segment is called Explain Yourselves. I say something, you guys explain yourselves. Tom Brady is a top 5 quarterback. I was a little surprised Julian Edelman and Malcolm Mitchell are ranked pretty low. Jamie has Edelman 9th in PPR, but 19th in standard. In standard scoring leagues, Heath and Dave have Edelman outside the top 24 and Mitchell outside the top 30. So, yeah, it's basically that. I'm just sum it up. Brady, top 5 quarterback. You guys, I thought were kind of low on Edelman and Mitchell facing the Rams this week. So explain yourselves.
Because Tom Brady hasn't had any good games with Julian Edelman doing nothing.
It's that's the Patriots. We know they're going to score points. We know Brady's going to be largely responsible. We have no idea who they're going to use. We've talked about how it could be Deion Lewis. James White might score a touchdown. Maybe Martellus Bennett will live again.
I don't know. There's a pretty good track record of what we've seen the last couple of weeks. With Gronk not being there, he's leaning on Mitchell. When Gronk's healthy, he leans on Gronk. So, and Edelman's been fairly consistent the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a chance for both the receivers to have productive games. I just think Brady's going to run for 4 touchdowns. So
I think Deion Lewis can catch a touchdown.
He absolutely can.
I think this is a Deion
Rams
Lewis
have actually game. Been really good, though, against pass-catching running backs.
I know, but this is the Patriots. And I kind of wonder if their defense takes a step back after trying something last week that colossally failed.
The Patriots?
The Rams.
The Rams had a defense?
They last did week? Last week against New Orleans.
They did?
No, they were awful last week.
They were awful last week. Yeah,
they were good earlier in the year.
Last week.
All right, no, so...
Well, that
so,
took an hour to unfold.
Here's the Rams' defense in a nutshell. They've been bad on the road, especially at Tampa Bay, at Detroit, at New Orleans. They've been bad against wide receivers on the road, including those 3 games and at Arizona. So they're kind of like the Eagles. Both those teams going on the road where they've really struggled, and they've been much better at home. And the Patriots do what they want when they want. And so, of all the Mitchell, right, and I saw you guys are a little bit low on Tyler Boyd, but a wide receiver's had at least 9 fantasy points against the Eagles in every single Eagles road game, and the last 3 have been huge games by much better receivers than Tyler Boyd. What I want to know is all those waiver wire wide receivers that we talked about on Tuesday, Mitchell, Tyreek Hill, Taylor Gabriel, Tyler Boyd, Marquise Wilson, who do you feel comfortable starting this week?
I'm starting Mitchell in several leagues if Gronk is out. I mean, I picked him up wherever I could.
Are you ready to move him up your rankings if you see that Gronk is out? Or are you going to keep him where he's at?
I mean, he may move up a couple spots, but I mean, he's number 3 receiver. So I have him in that range. I wouldn't necessarily go dramatically different on it, but I think he can have similar production to what he had 2 games ago. He could be 80 plus and a touchdown. It's pretty clear. As you saw last week, he got the red zone target score touchdown. He had the big play 2 games ago. I mean, when Brady gets comfortable with somebody, we've seen this over the course of his history, he'll go to him. And so when you look at this receiving core, has he passed Chris Hogan? That's the only question I would have.
I would say that it doesn't matter if he's passed him or not, because clearly his playing time changes when Gronk isn't on the field.
Yeah, well, they go more 3 receiver sets.
Right.
This is all based on
Gronk. And oh, by the way, Martellus Bennett may not play.
Oh,
even
right.
If he does play, he's kind of not playing.
Right.
Catch what I'm saying.
He's just getting in there to block. I think to answer your question, we're all for the most part starting Tyreek Hill from the waiver wire receivers. Marquise Wilson is a guy I think you can start just based on volume.
One thing about it though that makes me nervous with Wilson is that all those other guys got targets.
Right, but if he falls down to the 5 to 7 target range, he's getting the same targets that Malcolm Mitchell is.
Oh, I think he's definitely good. I'm just saying, right. You know, the play devil's advocate with him is, what if Meredith gets hot? Like, you know, you brought up the stats in the fourth quarter that all of his production for Wilson came in the fourth quarter. What if that's Meredith this week? Or what if it's Royal? Or, which is what I fear the most about this, is Jordan Howard just goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're up, you know.
Yeah, they'll do anything to take the ball out of Matt Barkley's hands.
10 points, and they're not throwing from behind in this crazy comeback effort that Mike Mularkey
let them back in. There's no question I'm taking Mitchell ahead of Wilson.
Can we
take him ahead of Gabriel, too.
Sorry, can we give San Francisco's defense a little bit of credit? Two of the last 3 weeks, they've done a really good job against David Johnson and Jay Ajayi, and they weren't completely embarrassing against LeGarrette Blount.
Oh, they made an effort to sell it against the run, and they'll probably do the same thing again. But this is now they're down Trevathan and Freeman. Who's the linebacker suspended?
Jarrell Freeman.
Freeman. So now they're down two of their inside. They're two starting inside linebackers.
Gosh, wow, it's bad. Okay,
they're in rough shape.
All right, explain yourselves, and this is actually just for Heath.
That was a mistake. The Bears are down there, two inside linebackers, not the 49ers.
I thought that's what you were saying.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
That will not impact Jordan Howard.
All right, so explain yourself. This is really for Heath. Ertz. Zach Ertz, number 4? Are you crazy?
Tight end's awful. Tight end's terrible. And, look who's at number 4 for Dave and Jamie.
Who is
Antonio Gates.
Okay.
Okay, that's what tight end is this week.
Okay, all right.
Actually, I have Rudolph at 4. Okay. Not that that's any better or worse. It's just, it's a tough week at tight end. Yeah. Vance McDonald is in my top 6.
Vance McDonald's number 8 for me. Like, I will say that I like Ertz's targets, and I think he's going up against a defense that he should be able to exploit, and Jordan Matthews is not 100%, so maybe he gets back to the targets and receptions he had 2 weeks ago and not last week. None of those are a good argument for saying Zach Ertz is going to be the number 4 tight end. It's just there is no number 4 tight end.
All right. That is fair. And finally, explain yourselves. Do you feel good about Doug Martin as a top 12 running back this week at San Diego? He has 23 and 24 carries in his last two games. But on the season, Martin's averaging 3 yards per carry. And the Chargers run defense, I mean, they give up a ton of touchdowns. Only Washington's allowed more rushing touchdowns, but 3.9 yards per carry and still have done well even without Brandon Meebane for a game. Do you feel, I understand why you ranked him there, obviously. I looked at the guys behind him and I get it, but do you feel good about Doug Martin top 12 this week?
I think it's the touchdown potential, at least for me, it's the touchdown potential because that's what it's, he's not running well. Last week was his best game, 3.8 yards per carry. I mean, he's just not getting, he's not effective,
right?
But he's getting a heavy workload, and I think that'll be the case again. I think he'll find a way to get you the 10 plus points because he fell into that two games, the previous two games prior to last week.
He scored.
Well, he scored one, and he had over 100 total yards in the second one.
Mm-hmm.
I think he gets you close to 60, 80 total yards and scores a touchdown. He had 119 total yards the last time he faced San Diego. I mean, it seems like a decade ago, but I still think he'll be involved enough, 60 plus total yards, and finds his way to get a touchdown.
Let's not make it like the Chargers' run defense is great. They've allowed a touchdown to a running back in 4 of their last
five. No, but their run defense has been dramatically improved from the beginning of the season.
And even if Martin doesn't score, I mean, he's got 90 total yards in his last two games. The game before that, he was coming off an injury, and the game before that, he got hurt.
90 total yards last week's a stretch.
He's basically played 3 games, 90 total yards in all 3 of them.
All right.
I think you can feel good about starting him. I don't think the matchup is that difficult.
Okay, here are your news and notes. Derek Carr, pinky, Aaron Rodgers, hamstring, Andrew Luck still in the concussion protocol, Tom Brady, mispractice. You expect all 4 of them to play, and are you downgrading any of those 4 based on their injuries? Carr, Rodgers, Luck, and Brady.
No, in fact, I moved Carr up in my rankings.
Okay.
We're at the point where like Wednesdays should almost just be a rest day for everybody. Everybody's so banged up. I want to see the Thursday practice report or the Friday.
Friday is the only one that really matters.
It's so late in the season that there's no reason to practice on Wednesday. Everybody should just call Wednesday practice off. Go watch a movie. Have a team bowling day. Build some team spirit.
Well, that's what I did. I just played Nintendo all day. I took the podcast.
Yeah, how come we weren't there? We were working.
Sure. Odell Beckham thumb injury, but I'm assuming you guys are fine with him. And Trevor Siemian dealing with a sprained foot. So he could play even if he doesn't practice. But Jacksonville allows the 6th fewest fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. They have not allowed more than 8 fantasy points to a receiver in their last 3 games, but haven't faced great ones. Are you nervous about Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders with the Trevor Siemian situation?
Yes.
If we could knock this one game out, because we got 8 AFC home games, who do you feel comfortable starting in the Denver-Jacksonville game?
Booker, just based on volume.
And the hope that he can get close to 10, if not, you know, 80 and a touchdown,
and
to help you out.
You're starting Thomas for sure.
Are you? What if Paxton Lynch is playing?
Yeah, obviously, if Paxton Lynch plays, you're going to really, you're going to be nervous about starting these wide receivers. And I know what Emmanuel Sanders did last week. I was nervous about him last week. I'm still nervous about him.
I'll probably still start him.
I'll start him as, you know, maybe a number 2 wide receiver, but probably closer to a number 3. And Demaryius is a number 2 wide receiver.
Would you start Devontae Booker or James White or Deion Lewis?
Booker for sure.
Booker.
PPR, I'll take Lewis.
Woo. This is the week. You're calling your shot.
I'm good. I guess so, yeah.
Good.
In a standard scoring league, would you go Booker or Theo Riddick?
I'm going Riddick.
Still Booker.
All right.
I think I have Booker higher. I can check.
Clay Matthews may miss this week's game with a shoulder injury. I didn't think the hit was dirty. Just saying. I don't get that. Luke Kuechly, unlikely to play, according to the Charlotte Observer, the Sunday night game. Oh, Sunday night. Earl Thomas, still day-to-day. We don't know. We'll talk about that game tomorrow.
Thomas expected to play, so is Michael Bennett.
Oh, Thomas, good. Yeah, and Bennett.
Bad news for the Panthers.
Very bad. Mark Ingram has a toe injury. Is this a concern?
If he misses practice, yes.
All right, we'll see.
Friday, right? Yeah.
Do you expect the following players? Jordan Reed.
No.
No.
Rob Gronkowski.
No.
Not as of now.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeremy Maclin.
Maybe.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't.
I'm going to say they give him one more week, but I don't know.
I like that optimism.
Ryan, yeah.
We don't want him back.
Ryan Matthews.
It's like when you go to a party and the party is in full blast and there's people everywhere and then a big loser that everybody knows and you know he's coming to the party, he walks in the door and the party just kind of goes to like a standstill and people start to leave. That's what Jeremy Maclin's like when he comes back. And I know this because every party that I went to in college was a bust as soon as I walked in the door and a half an hour later, all the girls were gone.
Yeah, you know, the same thing for me. But half an hour later, all the girls were gone because I was driving them home because I was always hey, Azer, can you give me a ride?
Girls called you Azer. They wouldn't even call you Adam.
Everybody called me Azer. I don't like my first name. I like the last name.
Let's change your name.
Yeah, he wants to change it to Mike.
Let's call him Super Mario Azer.
Well, you know what his kid's name's going to be.
Yippee-ki-yay, Azer.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay. All right, finally, do you expect Lamar Miller?
Yes.
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Stephon Diggs going to play tonight. Chris Ivory?
No.
Yeah, I'm saying no.
And Devontae Parker?
No.
Not as of now.
Let's do two you like.
And Mike Zimmer might not coach tonight.
Yeah, pretty serious thing going on with Zim and his eyesight. He had to have emergency surgery on his eye.
Yeah, best wishes. That sucks.
So it's week 13 in the NFL season, and the Vikings are without their starting quarterback, starting running back, starting offensive line, head coach, offensive coordinator. Their first-round draft pick is barely playing.
And yet they're still in playoff contention.
And yet they're still in playoff contention. Wow. Rick Spielman, GM of the year.
All right, let's do two you like and two you don't. Let's do these kind of quickly here, since, of course, I'm back, so that means I'm taking way too much time on everything else. Dave likes Jeremy Hill against Philadelphia and Michael Crabtree against Buffalo. Go.
I like Hill at home. He's played better at home than he has on the road, and you saw him get 6 catches last week. That's
career high.
Career high in targets and catches, 6 and 6. Philadelphia played on Monday. They're not as good of a defense on the road. It's a shorter week for them. I think Jeremy Hill's got a great chance to deliver for your fantasy lineup. I've got him in my teens, and I almost feel like it's too low.
Okay.
So Hill might even move up higher as I go through the research this week, but I really like him quite a bit.
You may have just convinced me to move Jeremy Hill up my rankings.
Yeah. Where do you have him right now?
22.
Okay. So give me a running back that you've got ahead of him right now. Just pick
Fat Rob.
All right. Yeah. There's no chance I would start Rob over Hill. And I like Rob Kelly, and I like his punishing style, but he's got a much tougher matchup.
Jay Ajayi.
I think I might start Hill over Ajayi, too, 100%. Because of that matchup for Ajayi.
100%.
It's going to be tough for him, especially if Ajayi's offensive line isn't popping holes open for him.
Todd Gurley.
That's an no-brainer.
Easiest one ever. The only thing about Gurley, and Jamie, Gurley is one that you don't like this week, one of the two you gave me. Do you think in PPR he can, because we know the Patriots stink against pass-catching running backs, do you think, you know, they're going to be trailing by 20, he catches four passes for 48 yards or something?
Is it him? Because we've seen since Cunningham back, it's been him, it's been Cunningham, it's been him, it's been Cunningham. There's not been a consistent track record of Gurley. I looked at that.
Right.
So the three games prior, he wasn't really involved in the passing game as much. So I just don't know what the workload will be for him. I think his ceiling is basically what his floor has been, which is 8 fantasy points.
So the floor and the ceiling is the same.
He will score 8 fantasy points.
That he's done that 7 of his last 10 games.
8.
Yeah. That's Gurley.
That's a number 2 running back. Just what we all expected from Todd Gurley this year.
He's been extremely consistent. Reliable starter for your fantasy team. God,
consistently mediocre.
Are you starting Rawls over Gurley, guys?
Easily.
Yeah, I've got a lot of questions about Rawls.
With no Kuechly in there, easy.
Yeah, they didn't have Kuechly last week, and they played pretty good. I mean, not against the pass.
Second straight road game. Seattle's at home coming off a loss. They are going to blast the
They
Panthers.
Did, and it looks like Justin Britt is going to be back at center for
they
Seattle, so that's
going
to help
blast
everything.
The Panthers.
I do have Rawls ahead of Gurley.
I mean, I have him ahead of him.
It's pretty close.
I just don't feel good about where I've ranked him.
All right. And Michael Crabtree, Dave, who do you like better in a flex, Crabtree or Jeremy Hill?
PPR Crabtree, standard Hill.
What do you like about Crabtree this week?
Do you know they only had 3 games this year with less than 9 fantasy points? And they were tough matchups. Chiefs, Broncos, Texans. And Buffalo's pass defense just isn't that good. They've given up a ton of yards in their last 4 weeks. Or they haven't actually given up a ton of yards, but they've had receivers score 6 times on them in those 4 games. I don't know if I'm looking for a touchdown from Crabtree.
Does it concern you in how you rank? Because this is something I struggle with. We've not seen them consistently play well together. Cooper and Crabtree.
How many weeks have they actually both done well?
I don't think very many at all.
What are we defining as done well? 10 fantasy points?
Yeah, double digits in fantasy points.
To be honest with you, Cooper hasn't been that good lately. He's got like 55 or fewer yards in 4
That's
of his last 5
He's
games.
He's not as consistent, but when he strikes very large. And Crabtree is consistent, but I don't think he's got a lot of games with more than
the ceiling's not very high for
fantasy
Crabtree.
Points. So I think Crabtree is the feel-good receiver that you go with. And, you know, if Todd Gurley has a floor ceiling of 8-8, then Crabtree's is like 9-12.
Okay.
He'll get you between 9-12 fantasy points.
And let's go to 2 that Jamie likes this week. That's Tyrod Taylor at Oakland and Mike Wallace against Miami revenge game. Let's start with Taylor. Who do you like him better than?
I like Taylor better than Eli. I like Taylor better than Jameis. I like Taylor better than Cam. I like Taylor better than
Bortles.
That's Russell Wilson. It's a good
list.
Wow.
So you really like Tyrod.
Yeah, he's been good. He's been great on the road. Raiders, I think this is going to be a shootout. It's kind of contingent on Sammy Watkins. If Watkins doesn't play, then I'll downgrade Taylor. But okay. I think that's going to be an element that they start to improve on. And look, last week's game was disappointing from him, but 3 prior, 4 of the last 6, he's been at least 21 fantasy points. He's been doing a good job running the ball with his rushing touchdowns. So I think it's kind of been a little overlooked how good Tyrod Taylor has been. And I think this is going to be one of the more fun games of the week. Don't use the B word on it.
Okay.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Do not.
Hey, you gave a bonanza on Monday, Heath. You said the Monday night game was going to be a bonanza, so the curse extends past me.
I have no official bonanza powers.
You crushed the Eagles. Mike Wallace.
Just to follow up real quick. So week 5, San Diego, both guys scored a touchdown, Crabtree and Cooper. Cooper was the bigger play there. Week 8 against Tampa Bay, obviously the whole team went off.
That's it. Yeah, I've got them both with double digits twice. In week 1. Week 5, what did you say? Week 8?
Week 1, Crabtree had 7 for 87.
He had a two-point conversion. So that's 10 fantasy points.
Yeah.
So 3 weeks.
So there's only been 3 times this year.
Okay. So, Jamie, Mike Wallace, I thought this was pretty interesting. What do you like about Wallace?
Oh, the revenge game.
Yeah,
he tweeted it after the game last week.
He said he did?
7 days. And he was very upset with how he was treated down here, despite signing a $60 million contract. And we already saw it once from him this year against Pittsburgh. Had the 100 yards and a touchdown. I buy into these intangibles.
He had a 95-yard touchdown catch and run in that game.
What does Mike Wallace do?
You got me there.
And the Steelers, by the way, they've given up 6 touchdowns to wide receivers. So if he's one of them, that's a little impressive. Look, he's involved. It's not like he's not involved in the offense. We're not talking about, you know, somebody who's a middling player. He's going to get his share of targets. He's a number 3 receiver. I'm not saying, you know, he's a top 10 guy, but, daily leagues, I take my chances with Wallace. Absolutely.
Malcolm Mitchell or Mike Wallace?
Wallace.
Tyreek Hill or Mike Wallace?
Hill.
Okay. Steve Smith or Mike Wallace?
I have them, I think, 2 spots apart. Smith higher.
I'd go Smith.
Okay. Heath likes Kenneth Dixon and Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I think, listen, we saw it last week when they even give them an even number of touches. Kenneth Dixon is the better back than Terrence West. You're just hoping that West doesn't score a touchdown if you're betting on Dixon over West. And I think that Dixon's style is going to work a lot better against this Miami defense because you basically have to get past the first 3 defenders and then you're okay. And Terrence West is more likely to just run into those first 3 defenders, known as the defensive line, or 4. So I think Dixon's a borderline number 2. The guys I've struggled with are the Starks, Fat Rob, Frank Gore, Tevin Coleman group.
Would it surprise you if he's better than Ajayi and Gurley? And
No. I thought about moving up even higher than this.
Yeah.
I've got him 24th. Okay. I'm probably starting him if I have Kenneth Dixon.
So yeah, if you have a running back you just don't feel good about, like
Jonathan Stewart.
Dixon or Gore would be kind of interesting.
I've got Dixon 1 spot ahead of Gore.
I'd still start Gore. I think just his involvement in the passing game is hard to overlook.
We're going to talk about him in just a second.
Yeah, we are. Jameis Winston you like at San Diego.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he's been really good. Now, not for fantasy points, but he's played really well. And I think this is kind of a game like that Buffalo-Oakland game. It's going to get high scoring in a hurry. There's nobody in San Diego that's going to stop Mike Evans. He'll be able to do whatever he wants with him. Cameron Brate should have success over the middle. I think Winston's the top 10 quarterback this week.
So you like him better than Tyrod?
Yes, but I do like Tyrod a lot, too. Okay, I've got them both as starts this week. I like him better. I like him better than Cap.
Kaepernick?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Boy, what are the last 4 quarterbacks to struggle against San Diego? Here are their names. Trevor Siemian, Matt Ryan, Trevor Siemian, and Brock Osweiler. So I would say Matt Ryan is going to be the outlier of that group. He had 273, 1-1, 14 fantasy points for him. I'm going to say that Jameis is better than that, and he can come through with a good game.
All right, let's talk about players we don't like this week. After I tell you more about Buffalo Wild Wings, and no team goes into the season, no fantasy owners go into the season without a game plan. And if they did, game day highlights would be nothing more than a football follies compilation, and those can be hilarious. But Buffalo Wild Wings knows that fans prefer the taste of glory on game day. The kind of glory that comes with having 21 signature sauces and seasonings to choose from, or a great lineup of cold and refreshing beers on tap, or a collection of wall-to-wall flat-screen TVs so big it would make your head spin. And we cover all those details so they add up to the kind of game day experience that fans can appreciate, and we do it because we appreciate fans. So win or lose, if you're a fan, you still win at having the best game day atmosphere there is. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports, we do it for you because you're a football fan. 2 you don't like. Start with Heath. Oh, I mentioned these 2 guys. We mentioned both. Frank Gore at the Jets and Eli Manning at Pittsburgh. Let me make my case for Frank Gore, Heath.
So okay.
How are you today? I have to. Oh, and I found it. Never. I don't care anymore. Double-digit fantasy points in 8 of 10 games with Andrew Luck, and that's in standard. And that includes at Denver, San Diego, you know, good on a per-carry basis, at Jacksonville, Kansas City, at Green Bay. I don't think those teams are quite the Jets, but you know, the point is he's good with Luck. What do you think?
I think in his last 3 games, he's been absolutely awful.
Let's take away last week.
Okay. So you just want to look at the 2 games before that where he had 37 carries for 110 yards
and still manages to score.
And his
though.
Involvement in the passing game, he's got 1 game in his last 4 with more than 2 catches. Like, he hasn't been that involved in the passing game. He's got 1 game in his last all season with more than 27 receiving yards.
But it just happens.
He scored some receiving touchdowns.
He just finds a way. It's weird.
I'm not going to bet on the he just finds a way, especially against a team that's very good against the run.
How is he any different than Doug Martin?
I think Doug Martin's going to get more value. I think Doug Martin has a much better matchup.
Well, I agree he has a better matchup. But, I mean, we just got through saying that Doug Martin finds a way.
And Doug Martin's been getting 20-plus carries. He's not had 20 carries since week 6.
But how many times has he had 15 or more touches?
He's had 15 or more touches in his last 3 games.
Every game, except for one.
And how has he done in those games when he's been with Luck?
8 of 10 with double-digit fantasy points.
I just don't. When you're doing it in a different way every single time and your production is this bad on a per-touch basis, it's fluky.
Yeah.
He's been lucky.
I don't know if you call it lucky, though, when it's an 80% success rate.
Oh, I think he was much better earlier in the year. He's been terrible.
With a 30-plus-year-old running back. I don't think he's a slam dunk. You have to start him this week, but I can't see a scenario where there's 20 guys better than him. Like, I'd start him over Ajayi and Gurley and Kelly. Easy.
I think there might be 30 guys better than him.
30 guys better
than him. I'm 25th. I don't have it ranked quite that way, but I think I can definitely see a scenario where it's that way, where it's a scenario where he gets 50 total yards and doesn't catch a receiving touchdown.
I like the involvement too, and I recognize that it's a difficult matchup, but this is a guy who's used in the red zone frequently. We've seen it, and I don't know if I can count him for 100 rushing yards. I don't even know if I can count him for 100 total yards, but as number two running backs go, I think he can still settle in as a top 20 option.
All right, what is it that you guys don't like about Eli Manning? Dave has Eli Manning 12th. Jamie and Heath have him like 15th and 16th.
I actually moved Eli down one spot this morning.
Okay, 13th.
He is outside of the top 12.
Why, guys? Heath?
I mean, he's not quite Ben Roethlisberger on the road, but he's not any good on the road either.
Yeah, it's true.
And I just don't see a situation unless the Giants just fall way down and they're scoring in garbage time. I don't see them having a lot of success offensively. Pittsburgh's corners aren't bad.
Do you think this could be a potential bonanza?
No.
I don't see that.
But one-sided.
For the Steelers?
Yeah.
I think it's a tough matchup for both quarterbacks, but I know the track record of Big Ben at home, and so I'll buy
Ben
into that.
I love Ben this week.
No, I do too. He's ranked in my – I think he's a top 5 quarterback.
Yeah,
he's
2 for me.
It's not like I think this defense is going to stymie him at home. I think the stymie could fall on Eli Manning more so. Not necessarily because he's on the road, but because that Steelers defense has actually managed to play fairly well without Cameron Hayward, last week notwithstanding. Last week they had a layup and they did great with it.
Last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Last 2 weeks.
Well, I do think it's funny with this Ben home road thing. Like the last 2 weeks, we've pretty much ignored the Ben on the road because he was going up against great matchups. And now he's at home against a bad matchup, but we're just going to ignore the bad matchup because he's at home.
Well, it's
it kind of feels like we're getting credit.
He's had some bad matchups at home that he's just shredded too.
Exactly. Yeah, he's been great at home. I'm looking at the matchup. Dallas. I'm not sure who it is, but yeah, he's been great at home pretty much every week. So, all right, we don't love Eli Manning this week, and let's just finish up, guys, with the two we don't like. Jamie, the two you don't like are Todd Gurley. I think we covered him. And Jay Ajayi. What should Jay Ajayi owners expect?
7 or 8 fantasy points.
Okay. All right.
I mean, look, Baltimore hasn't allowed a touchdown to running back on the ground in 4 games in a row. That includes Le'Veon and Ezekiel Elliott. And, you know, the Dolphins, if their offensive line is great, they went up against the Dallas offensive line and made things really tough on Elliott. And he did, you know, 25 for 97, I think it was.
It was really
brutal game, grinded out.
It was bad for Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, yeah, of course. And he made plays in the passing game, which Ajayi does not do. They're hopeful of getting both Brandon Albert and Laremy Tunsil back, which is the strength of the Dolphins offensive line on the left side. But without Pouncey, and we've seen it the last couple of games, he has not been the same runner. And obviously last week, San Francisco sold out to stop the run, but you've seen it, in the last 3 games. No touchdown on 43 yards rushing against the 49ers.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't score, that's where I think he's going to be in that 7 to 8 range. And against Baltimore on the road, in a tough spot, I think it's just a little bit of a letdown. It's very hard to bench Ajayi with the workload that he's going to get and the touchdown potential. But I think you can make, you
it's
know,
it's a lowered expectations.
Yeah, he's a low end number 2 in starts it. I call him the bust alert, you know, so that just kind of gives people an idea that he could struggle. I just don't love the situation for him.
Okay. Blunt or Ajayi?
Oh, Blunt easily.
All right. And, two that Dave does not like, Allen Robinson against Denver and Sterling Shepard at Pittsburgh. Where do you guys have Dave? Where do you have Allen Robinson this week?
He's in my 40s.
Wow. All right. No interest.
Yeah. I just, I, I'm taking a pass.
I think I'm the high guy on him, and I have him as a low end number three.
I got a 48 for me.
I got a funny tweet from somebody saying that this is all a trap and that Allen Robinson is going to go off because Julius Thomas is banged up, Allen Hurns is banged up, Jacksonville's going to have no choice but to throw in the game. And we saw Tyreek Hill score on Denver last week. The Broncos have a good defense, but they won't shut him down for four quarters, and it'll come through either in garbage time or whatnot, and that he's going to, for fantasy owners, deliver a good game. That's about the best argument you could put together Allen Robinson as a start this week.
Yeah, the best argument is that Blake Bortles, instead of getting one quarter of garbage time, is probably going to get like 2.5 quarters of garbage time, and surely at some point they'll connect on a Hail Mary.
But I'll tell you,
I don't know about that.
Here's what I'm wondering. Let's say Trevor Siemian doesn't play.
Right.
Is this a Denver Broncos blowout with Paxton Lynch under center, or do they just play keep away and make it a low-scoring game?
Denver doesn't have a lot of blowouts.
Yeah,
Siemian or not.
Right. Well, no, it's not a blowout. Like, they don't have to score 30 points to blow out Jacksonville in the first half. They could be up 17-0.
They're not scoring 17 points in the first half. Let's give the Jaguars...
They can. Booker scores once. Bortles picks six for another.
Well, field goal.
Booker doesn't score, and Bortles
They're
going to
have short fields because they're going to either sack or pick off Bortles on his first 10 dropbacks.
And Sterling Shepard, just to move it along, is in line with not liking Eli. Sterling Shepard... So Pittsburgh has not given up more than 7 fantasy points all year to a second wide receiver in any game. That's pretty awesome.
Right. And I think only one slot receiver has scored on them all season.
All right. The first game we're going to talk about here, but we've covered a lot of it. I know, like, nobody likes Rashad Jennings, but Rashad Jennings or you wouldn't start him over like Ajayi or Rob Kelly, guys, right?
No.
Okay. I have no interest in Rashad Jennings.
Okay.
I don't know if the Giants have a lot of interest in Rashad Jennings because Shane Vereen is on the way back.
Yeah, that's true. Would you guys start Ladarius Green or Will Tye if you really needed a tight end?
Green.
Heath, did you answer?
I thought my face answered, but then I remembered I was on a podcast. I'll say, I don't even have it this ranked this way, but I'll say I don't have an argument for Will Tye.
Okay. Is there anything we need to cover in this game? We've talked about the quarterbacks. Roethlisberger we love, even though the Giants give up like the third fewest fantasy points quarterbacks. Be an interesting game. And any other Pittsburgh wide receivers other than Brown?
Maybe Rodgers if you're desperate.
Yeah, I would sure like to see Eli Rodgers get involved, but I think the other Pittsburgh wide receiver is Le'Veon Bell.
That's true. I think Rodgers could see a lot of Eli Apple, and he could have a big play, though. So, it's desperation. Jamie has the Pittsburgh DST 9th. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Eli, prior to the last 2 weeks, was throwing some interceptions.
Yeah, it's true. Okay. You know the Giants, by the way, give up the second fewest sacks in the NFL? Something to keep in mind. It's not because their line is good. It's because they get the ball out quickly. Tampa Bay.
This has been your Giants update offered by Adam Mason.
Can I add, very excited for this game, especially if the Vikings win tonight. Like I'm getting the Beckham moo-moo that you guys got me out. I'm putting it on. I'm going to be very excited. Tampa Bay at San Diego. Third time that the Bucs have been out west. They are 1-1 in those games. Jameis Winston, we discussed. And Doug Martin. I'll throw out some flex wide receivers versus Doug Martin. Doug Martin or Jamison Crowder?
Martin.
I will also go Martin.
Martin, standard, Crowder, PPR.
Right. Yeah, yes. I'm thinking standard for these flex, Adam.
Okay. Martin or Edelman?
Martin.
Same way.
Edelman and PPR.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Martin or Randall Cobb?
Martin.
Martin and both.
Martin!
This will be interesting. Martin or DeAndre Hopkins?
Martin.
Martin standard, Hopkins PPR.
Dave?
I agree with what Jamie said.
Okay. Mike Evans, top three. Starter said Adam Humphries.
Oh, yeah. Let's start Adam Humphries.
What?
Let's just load him up. Number one wide receiver. Get him out there. So reliable from week to week. Must start. And a tremendous daily fantasy play.
I mean, look, if we're going to talk about Malcolm Mitchell and all these wide receivers, like at one point Humphries was in that boat. He gets like 50 yards a game.
But he didn't do it last week.
And no. I don't believe the targets are anywhere near as consistent.
He's
as
kind of fallen off since Russell Shepard came back, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Cameron Brait, we like him this week. He's a top 10 tight end. You could start him. Would you start? I know he's going to say Ertz. Dave and Jamie, would I think you take Brait over Ertz, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I don't think we've talked about Philip Rivers here. Seems like you guys like Philip Rivers. Rivers or Jameis? Which quarterback do you like better in this game?
Rivers.
Rivers.
Rolling down a Rivers.
Rivers or Roethlisberger?
Ben's two for me. I love Ben at home.
I'm going to go with Rivers.
Okay.
About Rivers, which could be a concern, is Gordon just going off if McCoy doesn't play.
I'll give you another concern. Tyrell Williams. A, will he play?
If Tyrell doesn't
and
play,
B,
yeah.
we talked about this yesterday, Heath, that the shoulder could be an issue. And if the shoulder's an issue, then that's obviously.
Well, he's played through this injury before in college.
He tore it in college.
Yeah.
By the way, Heath, I was not saying that Tyrell Williams is Mike Evans in standard and Antonio Brown in PPR.
That's exactly what you said.
Listen to the show. There's so many times I wanted to just jump in there and be like, no, shut up. But I think that's kind of what you were aiming for. All right,
but
you guys like Melvin Gordon.
Started playing Tecmo Bowl again and forgot about it?
What?
But then you started playing Tecmo Bowl again and forgot about it? Okay.
By the way, Zelda is really hard.
I know. I remember playing it when I was like 9.
It's hard.
And it took me hours
to beat it.
To pass the levels.
It's possible. Melvin Gordon, top 6. San Diego wide receivers. Give me your overall approach here with and without Tyrell Williams.
Tyrell's number 1. If he doesn't play, I think I still like Inman better than Benjamin. Like, I got to see it from Travis Benjamin before. Honestly, before I give him a roster spot, much less a starting lineup spot.
Yeah.
I think he'll lean on the tight ends quite a bit if Williams doesn't play.
Tyrell's the only one I'm interested in if he starts, and if he doesn't, he's still the only one I'm interested in.
So you're going to start him even if he doesn't start?
No,
I'm just not going to start either.
Wait a second. No, this is interesting, because if he doesn't play, you're not thinking about putting Dontrell Inman in your lineup?
I would say if he doesn't play, I'm downgrading Rivers.
That's for sure. And I also think I would upgrade. Rivers would move down because I don't think he's got a guy that can get 100 in a touch. But I think Gates could get him 30 in a touch. And I think Henry will get a couple more.
I might move Gates up to the Dave and Jamie range if Tyrell was out.
I'd move Henry into my top 12 too.
If he's out.
A lot playing time.
He might play double digits.
And Melvin Gordon will get a lot of catches if Tyrell's out.
Okay.
I'd have to start him at 7-2.
So nobody's interested in Inman. He's 18% owned. Antonio Gates is 4th for Dave and Jamie, 10th for Heath, and fairly similar in PPR, though he's a lot lower in PPR for Dave. This is a team, Tampa Bay, that has struggled against tight ends in their last 5 games. And so Hunter Henry is not a terrible option. I mean, he only gets you 2 catches, but he might score a touchdown. And Chargers DST, Heath doesn't like him. Heath has him 21st. Dave and Jamie have the Chargers DST 11th and 10th, 10th and 11th, respectively. 4 big games in their last 6. Okay.
Their schedule's just been so good for a defense.
It's not going to get much worse.
I think it was the Chicago Tribune. I don't want to quote it inaccurately, so I apologize. But that they made a case that Joey Bosa and not Prescott and Elliott should be Rookie of the Year.
Interesting.
He's been good. He's been really good.
He's been great. And imagine if he played the first couple of weeks
right.
when that defense was so atrocious.
Right. They could have used him in week 1 to slow down Kansas City in that comeback effort.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Buffalo is at Oakland here. And again, this is another West Coast trip. Buffalo, 3rd time on the West Coast. They are 1-1. I think we talked about Tyrod Taylor. Which quarterback do you like better in this game?
Carr.
Carr, but it's close.
Yeah, I've got him back to back.
I'll say Carr.
Carr or Kaepernick this week, guys?
Kaepernick.
Wow. Is it that you don't think Carr is that good, or just that there are a lot of good quarterbacks?
There's a lot of good quarterbacks.
What makes you think that we don't think Carr is good?
We've all got him top
11.
I feel like he's always lower than he deserves to be. But I'm looking at the rankings because 2 weeks ago, Jamie, you and I were kind of going back and forth. Maybe it was last week about what you think the Raiders want to be. And
I was a little concerned about the Houston game.
Yeah. No, I just want to know, like, I look at Carr as rising star, total NFL stud, like great player. I don't know that you guys are agreeing. I'm not saying I'm right.
Right.
I think he's an ascending NFL quarterback, and I think he's proven to be a top 12 fantasy quarterback. I don't know if he's at the echelon yet of being a top 5 guy consistently week to week.
I'll tell you why he's not. What do the Raiders want to do? What would they prefer to do on offense?
This is where I disagree. I don't agree with you.
I think they want to be balanced.
Balanced, yes, but I don't think Latavius Murray is good enough.
I think they'd love to run the ball.
I don't think their defense is very good yet. Mm-hmm. It's on the way. Mm-hmm. And so to make your defense better, you dominate time of possession.
I mean, he's been a borderline top 12 guy pretty much all year, and we rank him as a borderline top 12 guy every week.
Last week's game, I think, is an indication of why the Raiders, I think, are still a year away, because they couldn't hold on to the ball when Carr got hurt in terms of time of possession, and the Panthers got back in the game on their defense, and then they had to back and win.
They need a couple more playmakers on defense.
What is this borderline top 12 stuff? Derek Carr is number 7 this year.
Right. One spot ahead of Ben Roethlisberger. Two, three spots ahead of Andrew Luck. We're talking per game basis, right?
He's comparable with Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck's had two games of more than 25 fantasy points. No, I'm not talking per game.
On a per game basis, he's behind Ben, he's behind Luck, he's behind Brady, he's behind Kaepernick. So he's 7th. You put those four guys in front of him, he's 11th.
I've got him lower than that. Oh, in a per game basis, I've got him very low. 3, 6, 9. I've got him 10th on a per game.
Yeah,
basis.
That's about right.
22.4 fantasy points, which is nothing to
he's
sneeze
good.
At.
I don't know what the.
All right. Latavius Murray, start or sit?
You're starting him.
Yes.
Murray or Gurley?
Murray.
Murray or Booker?
Murray.
Anybody like TJ Yeldon this week, by the way?
No.
Is he going to play?
Mrs. Yeldon.
If he plays.
No.
All right. Thank you for that quick Jacksonville-Denver update. LeSean McCoy, start him. Wait, where am I in this game?
You just jumped to Buffalo.
Yeah.
But I think that's because we talked about Crabtree, and everybody's going to start Amari Cooper.
Okay, so Sammy Watkins.
Start Clive Walford.
Sammy, what do you expect from Watkins this week if he plays?
It could be a pretty darn good game.
8 to 16 fantasy points.
I don't know why it's such a surprise that he's sore and missed practice after playing for the first
time.
Well,
what was the report? That he got pulled out of practice?
Because he was sore.
Oh, that he didn't practice.
Right.
I thought he left practice early.
I thought he went out there and then got pulled for practice.
I'll see.
I think it comes down to whether or not he practices by Friday.
If he plays, he's healthy enough to be out there. His snap count will probably go up incrementally each week. It's a good situation for him. I think it's a shootout.
And if he does have his speed with him, you just saw what Ted Ginn did last week against Oakland. So going over the top is something Sammy Watkins can do. And Kelvin Benjamin had a long touchdown last week against Oakland.
According to ESPN, he did not practice. Felt soreness in his foot and did not practice.
Lame. All right. So that sucks.
We'll see. It sucks.
He shouldn't be practicing on Wednesdays anyway.
Nobody should.
Miami, Baltimore. All right. Let's see. We talked about a guy. I'm going to try to pick out a Jarvis Landry. You guys don't like Tannehill this week. Jarvis Landry, how do you feel about him?
I don't love him.
Yeah.
Don't love him. He's just not consistently good.
And the Ravens defense is good.
Yeah. They've been okay against slot receivers. They've had some hiccups along the way. Jimmy Smith's expected back. Not that that's going to help.
Slot receivers actually had the most success against them.
To what degree?
Not very good, but I'm saying like more so than when Smith is healthy, more so than the outside guys.
That's fair to say.
Landry's been bad, and Landry hasn't had a double-digit fantasy point week since week 3. Week 3, it was against Cleveland.
Yeah,
that's insane.
And that's non-PPR, obviously.
Yeah,
right. I don't even think we should really talk about Landry in non-PPR.
He's actually not catching that many balls. He's got 5 straight games with less than 7 catches, so he's not like a PPR stud.
I don't think he's too far off pace from the targets of last year. But it's the catches and the yardage that's off.
Okay. So rank the wide receivers in this game.
Smith.
Yep.
And then I think I'm done.
Smith, Wallace, Landry. And if Parker plays, it would be Smith, Parker, Wallace, yeah. Landry.
Okay. But you know what? Devontae Parker will probably line up a decent amount against Jimmy Smith. Jimmy Smith's expected back. That's going to help that Baltimore defense. And if that offensive line can't protect Tannehill, then this is going to be a blast from the past game for Miami to like week 2 when they looked awful.
Let's get one more game here. The DSTs in this game are in play, by the way, Miami and Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore's is better.
Sure. The Colts and the Jets will finish with that. Andrew Luck or... Did I ask? I hope I didn't ask this one. Luck or Kaepernick?
I've got to make this decision.
Luck
in a league where I need a win.
This is tough for me. I've got Luck one spot out of Kaepernick. And even though he's playing the Jets and that Jets secondary is bad, I'm nervous. I'm not sure he's got the supreme upside that Kaepernick has.
Luck has the higher floor. Kaepernick has the higher ceiling.
What's Kaepernick's floor? Let's be real about this.
23 points, which is what he hit his low of the streak.
I'd say
I'm not so sure that Luck's floor is as high as 23 points.
I think Kaepernick's is a little lower than 23.
Like 17?
Yeah, 18. And I think Luck's is closer to 20.
That's how I feel. Okay. And then the ceiling, Kaepernick's ceiling could be
35.
8-9 points higher than Luck's. I might pull the trigger on Kaepernick.
I said this on the podcast earlier this week. One friend of ours, James Questel, he's got to win and make up some points. So he's starting Kaepernick because of the home run potential.
All right. Yeah, unfortunately, Kaepernick's at 1 o'clock, so it's not like you can even see how you're doing and then make the decision because Luck's on Monday. So you'll have to make that call. But anyway, we like Luck. Luck is a start this week, but you might have a better option. Frank Gore, we've talked about quite a bit. T.Y. Hilton, top 7. How good do you guys feel, though, about Dante Moncrief this week?
10 fantasy points, maybe even 11 or 12. That's what he does.
Do you like the Jets wide receivers better than Dante Moncrief?
Marshall, yes, and then one, no.
Yep.
You go back to trusting Marshall here?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Why?
This is a fantastic matchup for him.
Gosh, he's been so bad this year.
They've allowed 9 touchdowns to wide receivers in their last, four games?
Something like that. And in 3 of their last 4 games, they've allowed multiple touchdowns to wide receivers. Now, that includes Antonio Brown getting 3 by himself on Thanksgiving. But the secondary is bad. And I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a gunslinger. He will chuck it.
9 touchdowns in their last 4 games.
So Marshall, to me, is a number one guy. He's back.
I'll make sure I ask about some of these guys on tomorrow's show, compare them to some of the NFC players. But I think we can call it a day. And I'm glad to be back. And I thank you all for your patience. And I thank Dave, Jamie, and Heath for filling in while I felt unbelievably useless. It is a terrible feeling to not be able to do your job.
You know what the nice thing is that you had a reason to finally leave your apartment.
And I did.
You didn't leave your apartment.
I did leave my apartment. I went on a technology search yesterday that turned up fruitless, so. And I guess. So that's
there were no soundboards in the hallway of his apartment.
There were no.
He turned around and went right back in.
There were no guns for Duck Hunt.
No. You wouldn't even believe how small the Nintendo. In fact, I wrote a birth announcement for the Nintendo. I can read it tomorrow if you like.
What? A birth
announcement? What are you talking about?
Like, we finally got our baby and. Yeah.
Jeez.
It was actually
get a hobby out.
You have really just hit a new level of loserdom.
It was pretty funny. I can read it to you guys tomorrow.
There's one person laughing here. The rest of us are crying for
all me. All my friends laughed.
All four of them?
What?
I said all 4 of them.
Actually, that's how many there are in this group text. Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Well, you 3 are my friends. Dave, Jamie, and Heath, thank you very much. I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right.